Hello, everyone. Welcome again to Heart to Heart. The Lord our God is mightily moving by the Holy Spirit. And I thank God that He is. The Lord is searching, looking high and low for those that He can do good. You know, He wants to show Himself strong on their behalf. And they are sincere towards God. Sincere people may not know everything, but they got what it takes. They have the love of God in them. Now see, sincerity is always been a part of the plan of God. It was understood in the days of the apostles. They were sincere. Judas was not. See, you got to look at the logic of people. The people know right. Everybody knows what's right and wrong. Adam ate off the tree of the knowledge of good and evil. Everybody knows. The Lord set us up to know. He made us in His image. It is remarkable what man can accomplish in his life. And Satan can't always get man to do what he wants done. The Lord is several steps ahead of Satan every time when it comes to man and redemption. But see, it's narrowed down to where people, the way that they are inside, that's how they're going to respond to the gospel. The Lord knew this. See, when people have faith in the Lord and they love Him, they're going to respond. Now, Philip, he ministered to the Ethiopian eunuch. And the eunuch wanted to be baptized. Of course he did. After he explained the verses of Isaiah to him. And when this happened, Philip pointed out that he could be baptized. I'm gonna get to the scripture. If he was sincere. You see, what I'm saying is this. Sincerity was always part of the plan. That's understood. It was understood. To believe on Jesus, if you're looking at the word with a modern mind, you have to understand the Jewish mind and the Gentile mind of long ago. See, anybody that would associate themselves with Jesus was an automatic outcast. When it came to the religious orders of the day. And even the Gentiles, they were used to stuff, you know, believing whatever. But when the righteousness of God came along, some people were interested in what was right. So let's look at Acts chapter 8. Now here's a perfect example of this. Philip was a man that he was an evangelist and he worked miracles. So let's look at Acts chapter 8 verse 26. And the angel of the Lord spake unto Philip, saying, Arise and go down toward the south, unto the way that goeth down from Jerusalem unto Gaza, which is desert. And he arose and went. And behold, a man of Ethiopia, an eunuch of great authority under Candace, queen of the Ethiopians, who had the charge of all her treasure, and had come to Jerusalem for to worship. If he was charged over her treasure, he was probably a mighty warrior. Okay, just a little side right there. Verse 28. He went and had come to Jerusalem for the worship, verse 28, was returning and sitting in his chariot. Read Isaiah the prophet. Then the Spirit said unto Philip, Go near and join thyself to his chariot. And Philip ran thither to him and heard him read the prophet Isaiah. And said, Understandest thou what thou readest? And he said, How can I except some man should guide me? And he desired Philip that he would come up and sit with him. The place of scripture which he read was this. He was led as a sheep to the slaughter, and like a lamb dumb before his shearer, so opened he not his mouth. In his humiliation his judgment was taken away. And who shall declare his generation? For his life is taken from the earth. And the eunuch answered Philip and said, I pray thee, of whom spaketh the prophet this, of himself or of some other man? And Philip opened his mouth and began at the same scripture and preached unto him Jesus. Now I want to say something. If he was, the eunuch was over Candace's treasures, he had to be a mighty warrior, and also he had to be a man of character. And then they came there to worship, and he's reading Isaiah. Okay? These are the telltale signs of sincerity. Okay, and Philip opened his mouth and began at the same scripture and preached to him Jesus. You know, they wouldn't put anybody over a treasure. Okay, just keep that in mind. Verse 36. And as they went on their way, they came unto a certain water. And the eunuch said, see, here is water. What doeth hinder me to be baptized? This is the key verse I want to share with you. Verse 37. And Philip said, if thou believest with all thine heart, thou mayest. Now just let that pause a minute. Think about this for a moment. If thou believest with all thine heart, thou mayest. If thou believest with all thine heart, thou mayest. And he answered and said, I believe that Jesus Christ is the Son of God. Who else said that? Peter. Upon this rock I build my church, and the gates of hell can't prevail against it. The gates of hell will not prevail against it. What you bind on earth is bound in heaven. What you loose on earth is loosed in heaven. Just like when Daniel was praying for the answer of his vision, he believed, and heaven was moving from the moment he first asked the question. And he kept his faith on. He was determined to get his answer. He wouldn't eat nothing tasted till he got his answer. And he didn't care how long it took. He stayed after. He broke through. And the angels broke through. Michael helped break Gabriel, and he got his answer. We got it in the Word of God. We got record of it. He brought something. He brought knowledge from God into this realm. In full detail, he had to seal it against the wicked. But the Holy Spirit can reveal it to the sincere. When wicked people get a hold of good information, they use it against the sincere people. And the Holy Spirit has been moving on the earth from the beginning, after the fall, after the great war. When we first met the Holy Spirit, he was moving upon the devastation. He moved upon the face of the deep. And then the Lord restored the earth for man, because Satan started a war with God. And the earth became devastated. And the Lord put it, he's been doing that ever since. He divided, the first thing he did was said, let there be light. He divided the light from darkness. He's been doing that all along. Now, people being people, some are sincere, some are not. Some people, modern day preachers, in verse 37, Philip said, if thou believest with all thine heart, thou mayest. Most preachers would have said, sure. They wouldn't have said, put it that way. Now let's look at it again. Verse 36, and they went on their way. They came to a certain water. And the eunuch said, see, here is water. What doeth hinder me to be baptized? And Peter said, Philip said, if thou believest in with all thine heart, thou mayest. Some would have said, they would have been begging them to get baptized. Hey, look, there's water. Let's get baptized in Jesus' name. This man wanted something. But Philip said, if thou believest with all thine heart, thou mayest. A lot of people would have said, go ahead and get baptized. They wouldn't even ask that. That would not have been in the thought process. You see where I'm going with this? Only those that are sincere will seek and follow God. A half-hearted person will be half-hearted. If you can be half-hearted against the things of God, you can be half-hearted against everything of God. You can be half-hearted against people. You can be half-hearted against God's will. You can be half-hearted against the Holy Spirit. God forbid. You can be half-hearted against miracles. You can be half-hearted against the message of faith. You can be half-hearted against wisdom. You can be half-hearted against righteousness. You can be half-hearted against love. You can be half-hearted against revelation knowledge. And you can be half-hearted against the blood of Jesus. It just goes on and on if you're half-hearted. And what happens is, half-hearted people are not sincere. They become lukewarm because they never was wholehearted. But when you're wholehearted and then you're purified by the blood of Jesus, you have a peace that you just can't comprehend. Every day you live in that peace realm, you have a reference of who God is, and you love him and you're devoted to him. You don't want anything else that's wrong. And see, people that's sincere, they're living differently than people that's not sincere. The problem is, people can't tell. I can't tell. I stopped trying to tell who's who. I try to be faithful and love. I just love everybody. I believe. See, the love of God believes all things of God. If something is of God, I will know it because I live in his presence. And when he uses other people, the knowledge of God is detectable. If you're wholehearted, you're attracted to it. You don't care who it's from. You thank God for the knowledge and wisdom that you get from others. But with people that's half-hearted, it's not that way. Half-hearted people see things different. And the problem is, people that's sincere get confused because they think everybody's sincere. But Philip said, if thou believest with all thine heart, thou mayest. Some people would see, here is water. That what doeth hinder me to be baptized? A lot of preachers would have said nothing. Let's do it. And they would have rejoiced with him. Thank God he was sincere. But Philip bothered to point something out. Because if you handle holy things the wrong way, you'll see things the wrong way. I'm pointing this out because a lot of people have never made Jesus their king. They were not fully sincere. They didn't believe with their whole heart. They know it's right. They could assess that it's right. But they love God. They have a love for God, but they also have a love for the world, which causes them to end up in a foul condition. That's why great revelation goes forth, but few people benefit from it. You see, from our point of view, the modern Christian mind, it's easy to contrast the Pharisee and the sincere disciples. It's hard to contrast Judas. He was with Jesus. He was around Jesus. He saw the miracles time and time again. He carried the money, but he was not like the Ethiopian unit here. He knew better, but he sided with the Pharisees, and he was in league with the Pharisees. He was paid by the Pharisees to betray the one who was working miracles. If you ever want a perfect assessment or visual of the lukewarm church, you got to look at Judas. You know, when I asked the Lord, who would be a perfect person to represent the Laodicean church? He gave me a vivid person in the Bible to represent the lukewarm church, and that was King Saul, after he fell. See, the lukewarm mind, the lukewarm mind can't fight for God. In battle, Saul went to battle against the Amalekites with clear instructions from the prophet to slay, and from the Lord, to slay all the Amalekites. He left the king alive, and he left his possessions intact. And he gave the possessions to the people. They were supposed to burn all that stuff and keep nothing. See, when you look at the protocols of God, you do what God say do. Sincere people don't fail to do what God say do, unless they're hindered by insincere people. See, the enemy is slick, and you can't fight him right if you think like him, if you agree with him somewhere. If you're fully persuaded and you receive Jesus, your life is going to be totally different than a person who loves the world somewhere. Leaven leavens the lump. It don't stop. King David, he went to battle before he was anointed as king, but he wasn't publicly known as king. Saul was known as the king. The people in that day, before he was installed as king after Saul's death, he was just one of Saul's men. They didn't know about the fight, that the rift that they had. Most people didn't know. Only the soldiers knew it. But David still went out and conquered and worked against and killed people like the Amalekites. They went about destroying, driving those people out of the land. David had a heart for God. He was sincere. That's what sincerity does. Insincere people can't fight like sincere people. I'm going to say that again. Insincere people can't fight like insincere people. Insincere people, or leavened people, they handle revelation different. They handle the blood of Jesus different. Their message is tainted. When people are not sincere and fully persuaded in their heart, they preach like it. So, this war has been going on so long, and guess what happens to sincere people? They go on to be with the Lord. They pass. Even the prophets don't live forever on earth. They go on to be with the Lord. They get gathered to their people. And if you want to know when people are saved or not in the Old Testament, when they were sincere, they were gathered to their people. If they wasn't right with God, they got buried. So, see, when things are, when the Lord returns, things are going to be known for what it really is. The Lord said to me, sincerity begets sincerity, while leaven begets leaven. Now, let's look at what went on to happen here. The man was sincere. Once he knew who Jesus was, he was already a Bible student. So, once Philip finished with him and pointed him in the right direction, he went on rejoicing. Okay, verse 37 again. Well, verse 36. And as they went on their way, they came unto a certain water. And the eunuch said, see, here is water. What doeth hinder me to be baptized? And Philip said, if thou believest with all thine heart, thou mayest. And, you know, looking at this, everybody that the apostles baptized were probably sincere, because they knew the difference. They knew what to watch for. They knew how things could go. If thou believest with all thine heart, thou mayest. And he answered, I believe that Jesus Christ is the Son of God. Now he's got covenant reality. He's got covenant blessings. He's got covenant authority from the moment he said this. I believe Jesus Christ is the Son of God. Immediately he has the Holy Spirit within. He can have the Holy Spirit upon him. He's about to be baptized in water, but the moment he said, I believe that Jesus Christ is the Son of God, immediately he has covenant authority. He has power over Satan. He has power over demons. He has power over all the power of the devil. He has everlasting life. He has guidance by the Holy Spirit. He has the Holy Spirit within. And I'm sure he received the Holy Spirit upon him. A man like this would. Because these things were known in those days. Verse 38. And he commanded the chariot to stand still. And they went down both into the water, both Philip and the eunuch. And he baptized them. And when they were come up out of the water, the Spirit of the Lord caught away Philip, that the eunuch saw him no more. And he went on his way rejoicing. Now, if you're in the desert and somebody's gone, you can look around 360 degrees. You don't see them. They got snatched. Peter was raptured just right before the man. But Peter, and he went on his way rejoicing. See, when you're sincere, God will do greater things in the presence of those that are sincere. But Philip was found at Azotus, and passing through, he preached in all the cities till he came to Caesarea. See, when in my life, I expect people to be sincere right off the bat. That's my greatest desire. That's what I expect. That's what I count on. But I learned to monitor the Holy Spirit. See, people are at different points and times in their life. Sometimes people can receive revelation greater than other people at their times of their life. And now, I have a friend, Odie Berry. When I learn something, I tell him. When he learns something, he tell me. And we rejoice. We've seen all kind of miracles in my backyard while I was working on cars. And others too. There are other friends I have like that. If I learn something, I talk about it with them, and we have discussions about it. We have church, folks. Okay. But sometimes, some people, you know, that was my custom, to tell people what the Lord told me. So when I go around some men of God, preachers, pastors, friends, men of God, I can't get anything. The Lord will have given me fresh information, a fresh revelation. I couldn't wait to tell my pastor friends. And in that prep, once I get there and I think about, oh, I got to tell him that, it goes away. It's like I can't even remember it. And a lot of other things, it's like the Lord put it in a suitcase and zip it up, and I can't get to it. Put the lock on it. When I leave, it all come back. Now, when this first started happening, and I started realizing this in like the early 2000s, I said, what is going on? I even asked, I said, Lord, how does the enemy do that? Because this got to stop. It wasn't the enemy. See, Paul said we're stewards of the mysteries of God. The Holy Spirit was helping me not to talk too much. Now, when I'm in the presence of a person that's sincere, the Lord will prompt me what to say. But if the Lord don't prompt me, I don't talk. I learn not to, don't talk too much. Some people I can share some things with, but I don't push. I learned, don't push I want to. I really do. But don't push. I raise my children in the things of God. And I share things with them because they know me. I raised them. And I want them to know what to watch out for. I tell them things I won't tell most people. But even with them, I don't push. I monitor I wait for timing. I wait for the Lord's timing. See, the Lord is dealing with sincerity. Sincerity attracts sincerity. When people are sincere, they want to know. Now, sometimes I'll talk to my daughters on the phone. And I intend to talk, you know, just catch up for about 10, 15 minutes. We might stay on the phone an hour. When they were young, on Saturdays when I would get them, because me and their mother was divorced, I always promised, I said, Lord, if I ever have children, I'm going to teach them your ways. I'm going to teach them everything I can. And he would give me what to teach them, and I would, you know, I'd wake them up, eat breakfast, and after they, you know, we would share the word. Usually in the mornings. I used to want to sleep late. When they started fixing their own breakfast, once they eat, I'd get up and then I'd spend time talking to them in the Word before we'd go do something fun or watch TV or whatever we were going to do. And I only intend to talk to them about 30 minutes, maybe 45. Sometimes 3 or 4 hours have passed. And they'd be asking questions, and I'd be answering. And then I take them to church, and little Jim, we call affectionately call, he's the pastor now. So let me say something right now. You know, he's the Pastor Jim made his son the pastor, and I love both of them. And I think they are great men of God to me. And I don't like to, he's the pastor, and calling him Little Jim, that's something that started before I got there. Because they had to differentiate. They both had the same name. So everybody called him Little Jim. Now, he's bigger than me. He's taller than me anyway. And then his dad, Pastor Jim. Well, when I refer to him, both of them are pastors to me. So sometimes I refer to the father as pastor and also the son as pastor because of that's what I was used to. So I'm going to have to. I thank God for both of these men of God. But Little Jim was over the youth, and he would share. He would teach them what I taught the children at home. Not just once or twice, but every time for years. Sincerity begets sincerity. Sincere people are attracted to sincere people. The enemy is still trying to divide people, sincere people from sincere people. You have to understand this. The enemy don't want you collaborating and talking to and edifying each other, because iron sharpens iron. Sometimes people don't know that. And sometimes sincere people fall into a trap where, you know, the enemy will try to introduce some of his ways to slow down the progress of the Holy Spirit. You have to be wise in your ways. I at my sister's funeral, my sister-in-law's funeral, I said the enemy wants to divide good people from good people. I said, the Lord had me to say, nurture the relationships that have been a blessing to you. Don't let those relationships go. Stay in contact with people that have blessed you, pastors that have blessed you. You fight for those relationships, contend for them, because the enemy wants to divide any which way he can. He'll use any. I'm an old warrior, so none of the tricks that he liked to use works against me. And the people he would try to divide me from, I pray for. I go by what God say. And I was saying, I learned to monitor the Holy Spirit. Some people are more ready for a revelation that you may freshly have than at different times of their life. So sometimes you have to wait. You have to monitor the Holy Spirit. Now watch this. This is Titus chapter 1. He said, he was dealing with insincerity. And he said some things. I'm going to start down here and then I'll go back up. He said, unto the pure all things are pure, but unto them that are defiled and unbelieving nothing is pure. But even their mind and conscience is defiled. They profess that they know God, but in works they deny him, being abominable, disobedient, and unto every good work reprobate. That's the problem with leaven. Now let's go back and look at the whole chapter. I'm going to try to do this in 1 minute. Paul, a servant of God and an apostle of Jesus Christ, according to the faith of God's elect and the acknowledging of the truth, which is after godliness in hope of eternal life, which God that cannot lie promised before the world began, but hath in due times manifested his word through preaching, which is committed unto me according to the commandment of God, our Savior. To Titus, mine own son, after the common faith, grace, mercy, and peace from God the Father and the Lord Jesus Christ, our Savior. For this cause left I thee in Crete, that thou shouldest set in order the things that are wanting, and ordain elders in every city, as I had appointed thee. See, Titus was also an apostle. If any be blameless, the husband of one wife, having faithful children, not accused of riot or unruly, for a bishop must be blameless, as the steward of God, not self-willed, not soon angry, not given to wine, nor striker, not given to fifth and lucre. In other words, sincere. Verse 8. But a lover of hospitality, a lover of good men, sober, just, holy, temperate, holding fast the faithful word, as he hath been taught, that he may be able by sound doctrine both to exhort and to convince the gainsayers. For there are many unruly and vain talkers and deceivers, especially they of the circumcision, Jewish people,